Welcome to the documentary from the BBC World Service, where we report the world, however difficult the issue, however hard to reach. Podcasts from the BBC World Service are supported by advertising.
If you're hearing this, you're probably already listening to in-depth stories on BBC Podcasts. But did you know that you can listen to them without ads? Get award-winning storytelling from the BBC, like World of Secrets, Believe in Magic and Uncanny, plus other great BBC podcasts from news to history to comedy, all ad-free. Simply subscribe to BBC Podcast Premium on Apple Podcasts or listen to Amazon Music with a Prime membership. Spend less time on ads and more time with BBC Podcasts.
Welcome to the documentary from the BBC World Service.
Estás escuchando The Fifth Floor.
The Fifth Floor dinliyorsunuz. Bizimle kalın.
Tumya Ektay, The Fifth Floor, Farnak Amidi Sobat.
This is The Fifth Floor, at the heart of global storytelling with BBC journalists from all around the world. I'm your host, Farnak Amidi. What do a graffiti festival, a first aid training, and a football match have in common? Well, these are all events set up by African Initiative, a Russian media organization which defines itself as, I quote, an information bridge between Russia and Africa. In this episode of The Fifth Floor, we have two journalists from the BBC Disinformation Unit, Olaronke Alo and Maria Korenyuk, who have been investigating this media organization and its activities in the Sahel region of Africa. Maria is in the studio with me and Olaronke is joining us from our BBC offices in Nigeria. Maria, I'm going to start with you. What is African Initiative?
Actually, I will probably start with the fact that, you know, these days in the West, audiences mainly hear about Russia in its context of its full-scale invasion of Ukraine. But it's interesting that while continuing the war in the neighboring country, Russia is still investing significant resources into African countries. So last year in Moscow, it was announced about the creation of a new organization called African Initiative, which, as you mentioned, defines itself as a news agency with its headquarters in Moscow, but also they have offices, or I would rather say affiliates, in African countries, in Mali and in Burkina Faso. So if you go to their website, you can find information about them, and this is what they say. I will just quote them. They say that they are a news agency that tell the Russian audience about the many opportunities for Russia in Africa, about the people on the continent, about the neo colonial legacy that African countries have been struggling with for decades, and at the same time, we aim to open Russia to our partners in Africa. That's what they say. But as a result of our investigation, we came to a conclusion that African Initiative is actually nothing more than just another Kremlin propaganda tool that they created in order to expand Russian influence in Africa.
So, Olaronke, what kind of events do they organize? Because although they say they're a news agency, but they do more than that.
Yes, they organize football events, which, you know, most times they say it's to, you know, improve Russian football and also recruit players from Africa, you know, after the competition, after they organize, you know, this event. They set up summer camp in Burkina Faso's capital, Ouagadougou. They also organize film screenings in a number of African countries. They show documentaries about Russian figures and, of course, African leaders sometimes. And they say that, you know, the goal of this film screening, again, you know, is to introduce the people of Africa, you know, to the Russian culture. And they also, you know, organize graffiti festival.
That's one which is interesting for me because it's not just your average graffiti festival that you see in big cities like London or Berlin.
Yeah, just like you said, you know, we see them put up Vladimir Putin's portraits on the walls. And, you know, one of the artists who painted the pictures of Putin on the wall says it helps make the city brighter, more beautiful. You know, at the same time, it shows the in quotes, new colonizers, that this is no longer your land, you're not welcome here. So they put all of this out, you know, organize these festivals for people to come, you know, showcase their art, but then in, you know, reflecting Russia in their art.
It's so, also interesting that during these football competitions that they organized for children, they asked African children to sing Russian anthem.
And you have other examples of the kind of activities they do, especially online and on digital platforms.
Yeah, because they kind of define themselves as news agency and they really kind of act somehow as a media organization. They have their official website that operates in different languages. It's a news website. It operates in English, in Russian, in French, and Arabic. That's where they spread all these misinformation, disinformation, pro-Kremlin narratives. That's where we also found these kind of pictures and videos from these cultural events organized in African countries. And they also are quite active on Telegram messaging app. So they have 6 different Telegram channels, again, in Russian, French, Arabic, English, and also in Spanish and Portuguese. And, for example, their Russian-speaking Telegram channel has audience of about 60,000 subscribers, which is quite big. And that's where they actively promote different pro-Kremlin narratives, misleading information, especially about the United States. Mm-hmm. For example, one of the most kind of popular, I would say, news that they are trying to spread, or I would rather call it a false claim, it's about the fact that the United States first established some bio labs in Ukraine, but then they moved them to African countries in order to test some medicine on African people. They've been repeating this again and again, these false claims.
I would also say that vaccine hesitancy in Africa is a big deal.
Yeah.
We've done stories of disinformation, you know, and we've seen them post stories about vaccine hesitancy, blaming it on the U.S. bio labs that they said is being established in Africa.
And Maria, when was this organization founded? Because the timing is quite interesting.
Yes, super interesting, I would say. So the thing is that African Initiative was officially registered in September 2023, and it was exactly 1 month after Wagner's leader, Yevgeny Prigozhin, died in a plane crash. Why it's interesting? Because African Initiative actually has welcomed some of his former employees, so employees of his disbanded enterprises, and also took over some of their assets. First of all, they've been spreading their disinformation and misinformation not only through their official Telegram channels, but also via Telegram channels that they inherited from Yevgeny Prigozhin. So these are the channels that were set up by groups linked to Wagner. Wagner is a Russian military group, former military group. Then if you go to African Initiative website, you will see that their deputy editor-in-chief, and this is open source information, her name is Anna Zamaraeva, and in past she was the head of the press service of Wagner Center. The head of this organization and its editor-in-chief is Artem Kureyev, who has been named by and identified by Russian experts as their Russian FSB agent, so Russian Federal Security Service agent. So he is also kind of linked to Valdai Club, which is a Moscow think tank close to Vladimir Putin. So that's how you clearly can see the connection between the managers of this organization and the Russian government.
Mm. What was Wagner up to in Africa?
We can split Wagner's activities into military one and cultural / media one. So this military activity was kind of overtaken by a new paramilitary group that belongs to Russian Ministry of Defense, African Corps, while all the cultural activities and media activities were taken by African Initiative.
Mm. You are listening to the documentary from the BBC World Service.
If you're hearing this, you're probably already listening to in-depth stories on BBC Podcasts. But did you know that you can listen to them without ads? Get award-winning storytelling from the BBC like World of Secrets, Believe in Magic and Uncanny, plus other great BBC podcasts from news to history to comedy, all ad-free. Simply subscribe to BBC Podcast Premium on Apple Podcasts or listen to Amazon Music with a Prime membership. Spend less time on ads and more time with BBC Podcasts.
I'm Farhana Kamidi. In this episode of The Fifth Floor, I'm speaking to two of my colleagues from the BBC Disinformation Unit about the activities of a Russian organization called African Initiative. Olaranke, tell me about the countries that they are mostly active in, this organization.
They are mostly active in the Sahel, but prominently in Burkina Faso. You know, they've established a local association there, also called the African Initiative. So they have an association that is also led, you know, by local affiliates. They organize the football events, first aid training, the workshops, you know, telling young people about the opportunities they will see in Russia. And we think this concentration of African Initiative in Burkina Faso, you know, may be linked to the presence of a pro-Wagner pundit. They have established a football school that has about 130 pupils there presently. We have influencers. We have them posting a lot about their activities in Burkina Faso, also Senegal. We've seen similar efforts, you know, organizing training, film screening over there. You know, some of these countries where we've seen their presence is dealing with military coup. We have Burkina Faso going through military coup. So it's coming at a time where anti-French sentiment is really way up there. So this is the time that Russia decided to go in, you know, take over the narrative. If it's anti-Western, if it's anti-French, then you can trust Russia. And just like we've said earlier, we've seen them screen movies about neocolonialism. So for them and for the narrative they've spread, and they're also spreading on their website. So it's basically leave the colonizer. We are the partner. We are the friend.
Right now, like, Russia is seeking support from different countries, especially in its war in Ukraine. And so far, while the West is supporting Ukraine, they are trying to find allies in Africa, and that's how they want, for example, to, let's say, disinform African journalists about the events in Ukraine. Last June, Russian officials, Russian state media representatives, and African Initiative invited journalists and bloggers from eight different countries, including a journalist from Mali and Ghana, to come to Moscow first. That's where all these journalists visited African Initiative headquarters. And after that, they went on this seven-day so-called press tour to occupied areas of Ukraine. First, they were taken to a Ukrainian seaport city of Mariupol that was actually completely destroyed and occupied by Russians in 2022. And after that, they went to different towns in the southern part of Ukraine in the Zaporizhzhia region. So these are the towns that are under Russian occupation. We need to understand that. And actually, what these journalists told us later, and my colleague can tell you more because she spoke to them, they said that they went there to understand what the war was really about, because Africa wasn't getting much information about the war. But the thing is that they didn't go to Kiev, they didn't go to Kharkiv, they didn't go to Dnipro, which are Ukrainian cities that are facing Russian bombing every single day. I've just come back from Ukraine, so I know what I'm talking about. But these bloggers and journalists, they were invited and taken by Russian official, and what is even more important, Russian soldiers, to occupied areas of Ukraine. We have seen videos from this so-called press tour where we could clearly see that journalists were traveling together with Russian soldiers in Russian military vehicles with the Z sign, which is official symbol of Russian invasion of Ukraine. And they recorded interviews with local people being accompanied by Russian soldiers who were holding guns. So the journalist, African journalist, they say that we wanted to see an independent picture of what was going on there. We wanted to provide our audience with unbiased view on the war. But the thing is that we know from our interviews, because our team, BBC Global Disinformation Team, has conducted lots of interviews with people who are living under Russian occupation. These people, they are living in a constant fear of being detained, of being arrested for their pro-Ukrainian views, of being threatened, interrogated, and even tortured. So obviously, when you interview people with Russian soldiers standing nearby, what kind of unbiased and independent view can you expect? But later, we also analyzed some articles published by these African bloggers, and they clearly repeat pro-Kremlin propaganda narratives. They quote Russian-installed officials, and they call Ukrainian cities occupied by Russia as conflict zones in Russia. They are sharing false claims about the fact that locals are, they say, are happy to join Russia. And they refer to this region as new Russian areas, which absolutely contradicts international law.
Just to add that, you know, we did confront them, you know, with some of those
claims. That's exactly what I wanted to ask you. Yeah.
Okay.
So when you ask them, like, did they really believe that the people that they were speaking to, who were standing next to soldiers with guns, were giving them an independent view?
Yeah, that was the response we got from them.
Ronke, I guess she also told you that it's normal, for example, in Africa, sometimes people with guns like accompany you for your security. And that's what we saw, that they were with us only for our security as journalists. But unfortunately, they, I don't know, didn't understand or didn't want to understand that people there, they can't say anything honestly when they see Russian soldiers are standing nearby.
Mm. Yeah. And then they also did mention, you know, some of the facilities that these people say they now enjoy. You know, they said now they have, you know, access to basic amenities. They have access to free schools, you know, hospitals.
Here I need to say that education in Ukraine and medicine in Ukraine is free of charge always for every citizen.
Yes.
We've been investigating Russian propaganda machine and their activities for years now, and they invest so many resources, huge resources, that if they can brainwash people who call themselves journalists, just think about like ordinary audience. And obviously, by taking these people, by taking these journalists on this press tour, they use them as so-called soft power, right? Mm-hmm. So they use them as people who can kind of persuade local audiences in Kremlin narratives, just because when people in Africa watch the news produced by local TV channels or read some text pieces written by local journalists, they tend to believe because they think, okay, these are our people. They went there. That's what they saw there. It's not like just some Russian random presenter who tells us these are African journalists who saw everything by their own eyes. So that's how the Kremlin is using African journalists in order to spread this false information. For the Kremlin, it's really important to show also their internal audience that there are countries that support them. And that's why, for example, when we were talking about these tours to occupied areas of Ukraine, there are lots, like dozens of articles published in the Russian language on a pro-Kremlin website, Russian state media websites, that are talking about, look, our African friends, African journalists came here to share the truth. So for them, it's really important to show that there is someone, while the West is supporting Ukraine, or they really want to show that Africa is our friend and we need just to increase our influence there and increase our collaboration.
So all of the things they're doing in Africa gets a lot of coverage internally as well.
Yes. And then we see influencers, they partner with influencers on social media. So they have people re-echo their efforts and their events almost all the time with, you know, quite a number of views on Facebook, on TikTok.
And I know that your team contacted African Initiative to get a reply. What did they say?
Yeah, we did reach out to them for comments. And then the office in Moscow did confirm, you know, that they saw our email and they received our queries. But then we didn't get a response via email. The African Initiative, you know, after we published the story, they reacted, publishing an article on their website and also on their Telegram channels. They also did the report, I think, on a YouTube, their YouTube channel, quoting a response they had sent to the BBC. So African Initiative said humanitarian activities in the Sahel, such as football competitions, aimed to improve Russian football and recruit new players. And the goal of the film screening and school lessons is also to introduce the people of Africa to, in quotes, the great Russian culture. So the organization also reiterated, you know, and defended the stories which were highlighted by the BBC as misleading. However, they didn't provide new evidence to say why they said the stories were published, you know, and put out to them is misleading. So it did reference the Russian constitution and the Russian law as why, you know, some of those reports that we've seen and the journalists that had gone on that tour referring to occupied Ukraine as Russian territory. So they said that it is according to the Russian constitution and the Russian law.
We heard how this organization is operating in the Sahel region and countries where the former Wagner group were already operating. But do you think that their operations will expand to other countries as well?
Yes, I think it's only a matter of time. Mm-hmm. African Initiative, it's about a year old. They have already established offices in Mali, in Burkina Faso. They have this event that they organize and has much hold on the locals in this region. Mm-hmm. So I think it's a matter of time. And right now, they are spreading towards Equatorial Guinea. Some of the journalists we spoke with are from Ghana. And in their meeting with African Initiative in Moscow, they talked about partnership. One of them, a blogger who didn't reveal what the deals of the partnership is, said he's in partnership with them about information sharing, trade partnership. So we've seen them spread beyond the Sahel, but not established in, you know, places like West Africa or East Africa, so to say. But then we've seen their activities there.
Olorunke Alo and Maria Korinyuk from the BBC Disinformation Unit. I'm Farhana Kamidi. The Fifth Floor team this week was
Alicia Joya,
Caroline Ferguson,
and
Hannah Dean.
The sound engineers were
Sue Mayo
and
Steve Greenwood.
Thanks for listening. You've been listening to The Documentary from the BBC World Service.
If you're hearing this, you're probably already listening to in-depth stories on BBC Podcasts. But did you know that you can listen to them without ads? Get award-winning storytelling from the BBC like World of Secrets, Believe in Magic and Uncanny, plus other great BBC podcasts from news to history to comedy, all ad-free. Simply subscribe to BBC Podcast Premium on Apple Podcasts or listen to Amazon Music with a Prime membership. Spend less time on ads and more time with BBC Podcasts.